This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The city of La Crosse has seven sister cities around the world, relationships with municipalities in seven different countries to promote cultural and commercial ties. In one of La Crosse's sister cities, Kumbo, in the Central African country of Cameroon, residents are facing increasing violence and lack of resources for community members. Now, La Crosse area organizations are coming together to find ways to help. We're here with Sister Eileen McKenzie, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration here in La Crosse, and Lee Roche and Mike Swenson from the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon, a local nonprofit. Sister Eileen, we'll have you start by talking a little bit about how the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration developed a relationship with the country of Cameroon.
Yes. Well, we began over 20 years ago, actually, with our congregation starting to work with the Tertiary Sisters of St. Francis in their Cameroonian province. This one of our sisters, Sister Marla Lang, was the president at the time, and she was at a conference in Assisi, Italy, with Sister Anna Niundun, excuse me, and they were both congregational leaders, and they were at a workshop in a peace conference, and that workshop had to do with the benefits of congregations working all over the world, particularly from developing nations, partnering with developed nations, and just the benefits that has, not only of mission and the effectiveness you have in mission, but the rich relationships that develop with that. And the story goes that the one sister turned to the other and said, "Well, that sounds pretty good. We should try that." The other sister said, "Yeah, let's try that out." And they had no idea, as they both tell this story, what they were getting into. But what it actually evolved into was the Franciscan Common Venture, which was four Franciscan congregations, three that had a base in the United States with the same foundress, and then one, an international Franciscan congregation with the Cameroonian province. So over the years, over 20 years, we have been working with the sisters in Cameroon, particularly in Chisong, which is outside of Kumbo, but we've also been working with their sisters in Italy and in Rome and Germany and in Bolivia. There's just been a special relationship, however, with our Cameroonian sisters. They've broadened us in many ways as we've gone over there to work in areas of healthcare and education and spirituality. And they've come and stayed with us and have gone to school and have worked with us in spirituality and cultural development. And so it's been just a very rich exchange over two decades of sisterly love. Now, with this, we have this whole network of people that we also relate to. And so as we have gone to Cameroon, we have also connected with other people and organizations in Cameroon. And as the sisters from Cameroon have come to La Crosse, they've connected with different people and organizations. And so I like to say that we just have this rich relationship that has just been a circle of international, educational, ministerial, spiritual power that has had some ripple effects. And La Crosse has been one of those places that has been profoundly impacted by it.
Yeah, Lee, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about kind of the background that led up to La Crosse developing a relationship with Kumbo.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting that one of the very first efforts out of the Common Venture was establishing a dentistry at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Chisong, which is adjacent to Kumbo. And they selected one of the tertiary sisters of St. Francis, Sister Emma Mark Virgai, Sister Mark. They selected her to be the director of that dentistry. And in doing so, she went to northern Italy and studied under a oral surgeon there, dentistry, sort of like a internship, sort of like an apprenticeship. And when she returned with a lot of knowledge and skills, assessed knowledge and skills, she was sent to Western Technical College to study dental assisting to learn about the the technology, the equipment, and so on that we had, and the things that should be in any modern dentist's office. She went back to St. Elizabeth's, started the dentistry, and over the years that we've been tracking this, she has served over 15,000 patients in that area. There was really no dental services available prior to this dentistry being established. So this was back in the year 2000, and it was one of the first projects, and when she studied at Western, we got to know her, and some of our faculty went to visit her and do some volunteer work in about 2005, 2006. And they came back and they said, you know, Lee, you really have to go. You have to go. And I wasn't sure that, you know, I was busy with other things. I wasn't really ready to take on a trip to Africa, but they were pretty persuasive. And I did go along with my wife, Susan. And for me, it was a life-changing experience. I was so impressed with the determination, not just what Sister Mark was doing, but what the tertiary sisters were doing and just the population in general. And so we came back and formed this organization, a rather informal group called the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon. One of the first things we did was provide a sponsorship for two additional students, tertiary sisters, Sister Virgilia and Sister Kathleen, and they studied computer networking. And again, they had about an equivalent high school diploma, and yet they came back and they both graduated with honors. So we did some things to help get technology there. We participated with the Books for Africa effort. Over the years, we've acquired resources to get a new dental chair. We've provided through Rotary projects that included a library and school sanitation effort for small rural schools. There's a mobile library project that's underway now. So what started in this very small relationship has grown and involved more and more organizations over the last, well, in this case, 10 years. And dozens and dozens of people from Cameroon have come here. And dozens of people from here have gone there. And so it was a logical next step to consider becoming a sister city. And in 2013, we put the request to the mayor and to the city council, and they approved it. And we had an upcoming visit scheduled, and we brought the resolution and the city flag to Mayor Njong of Kumbo, and he was so delighted. They wove us into an event there to celebrate, and then he came to visit La Crosse in 2015 with a delegation from Kumbo, and that really got the ball rolling. And we had a final sister city exchange visit in January of 2016, and that was when we were representing Mayor Cabot, and it was a fabulous experience, a once-in-a-lifetime type experience, because they were really there to show their value and appreciation for having a sister city in the United States. Ironically, 2016 was the year when incidents started to occur between the French government and the two English-speaking provinces that started this downward spiral. And so it's only been a very recent development of a history that goes back to the colonial times, when at one time this was a German colony, and at the outgrowth of World War I, it became divided into French and English provinces, and that's part of where the history is. So as we have grown and our relationship has grown, we have a strong interest in supporting these friends that we made through the sister city relationship.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about Kumbo, a city in Cameroon and one of La Crosse's sister cities. We're here with Lee Roche from La Crosse Friends of Cameroon and Mike Swenson from the organization and Sister Eileen McKenzie, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. Before we dive more into some of the unrest in Kumbo that's really affecting residents, you know, Mike, I wonder if you can start by talking a little bit about the country of Cameroon for people who might not be familiar with the country. Kind of where is it located, and kind of what does life typically look like there?
Well, I'm involved with the Friends of Cameroon effort, but I'm one of the folks from the area here who hasn't been able to go visit Cameroon yet. So it'll always be on my list of items to be able to go do and to experience it myself. Over the years, having been involved with the Friends of Cameroon, I've been able to meet so many great people from Cameroon, and I want to be able to get there and visit it myself. But from what I hear from other people that have visited and from what I've learned about the country, one of the things that really is important is that there's a big diversity in terms of what the country looks like, the mountainous regions, the coastal regions, the urban settings versus the very rural settings.
Yeah, Lee, you were talking about this before we got started, just kind of the diversity both of the kind of terrain and also you were mentioning the diversity of kind of the people, the cultural background.
Exactly. You know, it's the country is about the size of the state of California. It's in the western part of Africa. It's actually adjacent to Nigeria, on the eastern side of Nigeria. In the far north, it's desert. In the far south, it's very arid and humid. In the east, this is the area where the Pygmy tribe resided, and it's a jungle type terrain. And in the area that Kumbo is located, it's temperate, and there are mountains and large hills and waterfalls and things. So there's a tremendous amount of diversity there. It's also a country of a strong Christian presence, Catholics and Baptists, but also a Fulani Muslim population as well. And so there's a lot of religious diversity as well. So and the interesting thing is, for many, many years, even though the colonial effect on the French and English-speaking provinces has been a factor, it's been a very peaceful nation. And I've had an opportunity to visit there 3 times, and I've been in the homes of a number of people. It was never anything but a friendly, open opportunity to visit and get to know a people in another part of the world. And so that's why it's so disturbing to see things turn the way they are, because it wouldn't be safe for us to travel there now.
Sister Eileen, I know you have been to Kumbo or to Cameroon as well. And, you know, I wonder if you could share a little bit more about kind of, you know, what life is like there.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to just highlight what they've talked about as far as diversity. One of the things I'm aware of is that there are over 200 tribes within this small country. And so people are very adaptable as far as working with difference, and their capacity for intercultural relations is really remarkable. For example, most people speak several languages before they even go to school. They speak their tribal dialect, and then they often pick up the dialect of the tribe that's closest to them. There's a pidgin English that they learn, which is kind of the language of commerce, in a sense. And then if they go to school, then the language of education is English in the English-speaking province and French in the French-speaking province. And then in order to complete their education, they have to learn the other language of education. So English speakers have to become proficient in French and vice versa. So the intelligence of the Cameroonian people that I know is just remarkable. And it's a different intelligence than we consider, you know, as far as standardized tests and things. The hospitality is something that really is remarkable to me with the people who are there. And as Lee has said, there's just a variety of landscapes, and where Kumbo is particularly, it seems like it's savanna, like a savanna land. So it's very comfortable. It's very lush. It's very easy to grow things there. It's an agrarian society. Most people have sustenance farming, which is part of the piece that they've talked about over the years. You know, even though people have been, the poverty level there is remarkable and has always been a point of concern. The common understanding is, well, as long as people can eat, then there's probably going to be peace. And so even if people live in the cities, which there are several bustling cities there, you know, family members will send, you know, bags of corn or bags of rice to their family members. The sense of community there is incredible as well. It's just an understanding of family and of sharing that I think in our society we sometimes hunger for. So it's really noticeable when you go to different villages, when you travel, even if you're traveling in some city areas. But I think you notice it more in the villages where people just offer everything they can to you in hospitality, which sometimes can be quite humbling when you see the resources needed to make an offering to people there.
You know, Lee, as you were talking about, you know, it definitely sounds like La Crosse has made an impact on Kumbo. And, you know, I wonder, Mike, if you can talk about the impact of having this sister city relationship with Kumbo has had on La Crosse. You know, what impacts have we seen here locally?
Well, I think one really neat story, Sister Eileen was mentioning the language skills of so many Cameroonians that speak many different languages. When we had an official delegation come visit to celebrate the founding of our sister city relationship, one of the gentlemen in the delegation who would sort of be like a governor in our country as a regional officer spoke German. And he had done, of course, his homework on La Crosse. And he knew about Oktoberfest, and he was so excited to get to La Crosse and speak German. And so right away when we picked him up at the airport, he said, you know, welcome or thank you. It's great to meet you. Now, can we find someone who can speak German? And so we had to do that. I think La Crosse is really, for the size of a community, it's very concerned in global citizenship and in global efforts. And so I think we've really seen a lot of people in La Crosse who've kind of become part of the Friends of Cameroon or been interested because it's been an opportunity for them to participate in really helping to promote peace in another country with people that we've developed personal relationships with. A lot of the school children in the area have had opportunities to learn about the Cameroon culture and music through the different events that we've had. And of course, now people are getting more involved in learning a little bit more about the Cameroon culture because of the efforts with our Cameroon Garden in Riverside Park.
Lee, I want to dive into some of the unrest that you have mentioned that's happening in Cameroon. And I wonder if you can just start by talking a little bit about how you know, how this got started a number of years ago in 2016.
Well, you know, again, the relationship issues go back decades. And there was at one time an opportunity for the English-speaking provinces to have a vote on aligning and becoming a part of Nigeria or aligning with the rest of Cameroon and becoming part of Cameroon. And in a very, actually fairly close vote, they decided to go with the formation of the Cameroon nation. There was an agreement at that time, though, that would be a kind of a federalist arrangement. So there would still be some autonomy for those two provinces under the Cameroon government umbrella. And then sometime later, that was phased out. And what I think has happened is a sense that the English-speaking provinces were not of the same status in terms of getting support, things like roads and other governmental support, and not having representation in government. And so those are the things that have lingered for some time now. Now, I think to put it in perspective, in Spain, they're concerned. The people in Catalonia have concerns about being part of the Spanish government, and of course you have French and English speaking Canada. The differences can be resolved if you have a government that is working to resolve them. But it was apparent that wasn't the position of the Cameroonian government. It was basically trying to bring the two English-speaking provinces under the French-speaking umbrella. And it led to a declaration that all education in the schools would be taught in French only, and that the courts would be run in French as well. And so you had teachers and parents and students and attorneys that were concerned about that, and they started a protest. It was a peaceful protest, but the response of the government was pretty harsh. And the harshness of that is what started this process of the downward spiral of action and reaction. And when you look at it, where it is now, it has evolved to a point where there is a strong faction in the English-speaking provinces that want separation. They want to form their own country. And so there are incidents of violence on the part of the government and military, and there are incidents of violence on the part of the secessionists. The Human Rights Watch, which is a pretty real objective and accurate assessment of issues of human rights violations, has determined that there have been 170 citizens killed since last November, and about 30 or so military officers, that there are many homes that have been burned. And in Kumbo alone, there are 10,000 people who have been displaced. And it's had an effect on several of the key areas. When Eileen mentioned about education and literacy, and actually in prior years, a few years ago, Cameroon was in the upper echelon of African-speaking nations in terms of literacy. They have not, the public schools have not been in service for over 2 years. Now think about what the effect that will have on that young generation of people who are now expecting to enter school. We could have a lost generation as an outgrowth of this. The food production in the Kumbo area, which has really been a strength in that area, is now operating at 20% of what its capacity would be. So this idea of when we have food, we'll always have peace, well, now they're looking at the very realistic possibility of facing famine. And so it's really, it's a crisis because of the threats and the deaths that have occurred and the burning of homes and villages, but it's also this impact on the culture and the infrastructure that is very concerning as well.
Sister Eileen, what have you heard from residents of Cameroon or people who have family there still about kind of the individual impacts of this crisis? You know, have you? I imagine you've heard stories.
Yeah, very disturbing stories, honestly. It's not uncommon for people to kind of live in the bush, they would say. So right now, there are over 300,000 internally displaced persons from the region, you know, in Cameroon. And I think that they have monitored now 50,000 refugees. When I talk with my friends in Cameroon, Sister Virgilia will say, oh, well, last night we had to sleep on the floor because the gunshots were going on outside. And then they'll get up the next day, and she works for the bishop, and they'll go to a retreat or they'll do something. I'll talk with another friend, my friend Fulcom Grace, and she said, I've sent the children and the grandchildren to the French-speaking areas. We think they got there okay. Pa and I are going to stay here. We're going to try and make it to the hospital for over the weekend because we think that they're going to send military trucks in. Shisong Hospital, which the sisters run, and it has the best cardiac center in the country there because of their capacities. It's over a 300-bed hospital. That has not been functioning as a hospital at all. That's now a place, it's essentially a refugee camp. It's where people go because it's safe in there. The military has still come in there to look for separatists, and the sisters have been, quite honestly, held suspect because of treating either separatists or military people who have been harmed. Their stance has been, we just treat people who need treatment. But they're seen in a really tenuous situation. I know none of my friends' children are going to school. As Lee was saying, schools have not been operating in that region for over 2 years. Any type of economic security is lost. People can't go to the farm, so they haven't planted yet. They were going until they would find that they would go to the farms and would be randomly shot by military if military were in the area. If you're a boy above the age of 12, you're suspect and you're a target to be shot. Now they're looking at the effects of rape on women. You know, rape and abortion levels are now up in Cameroon because of the way that's being used as a weapon of war. It's just disturbing. People are, and they're kind of, one of the most interesting things to me is that they're trying to normalize this so that they can continue to live life. So we're working with some Rotarians in Kumbo to get a mobile library project going. And we had the plans of this before the unrest started. And so they're consistently saying, okay, well, we'll adapt it here. We've got the books, but we really can't deliver the books here, you know, until it calms down. And I asked one of our friends there, Chin Idris, I said, well, I don't see that it's going to calm down anytime soon. And he said, well, when it's bad in Kumbo, it's really bad. But when it's good, it's good. You know, so they try and do what they can as a means to survive. They live with total insecurity. I was just communicating with Sister Roberta Fay, who's the superior of the Shisong sisters, and they were in the cathedral at an ordination of priests, and they said that they could hear the gunshots, you know, the bullets from gunshots on the top of the cathedral. And she said, but thank God no one was killed in the cathedral. Although just, you know, like how many blocks away, there were boys and men who were killed. So it's terrorizing. It's absolutely terrorizing.
Mike, have we seen this crisis get attention from American media or international media? I mean, are people talking about this on the world stage?
Well, people are just now really starting to talk about it more on the world stage. You know, when in 2016, we started to hear reports from our personal connections there, and it was like hearing something out of a movie. It was so scary. Or if you were to search online, you could find news stories from international sources that you weren't sure if what you were reading was really true or not, because it was so scary or sounded, like I said, like something just out of a movie. But now we do have some international attention, and it's very easy to find news sources online that can describe just how severe the situation is becoming. We've even seen more recently the United States government with a delegation to Cameroon enforcing some sanctions against leadership in the country, and the EU Parliament passing resolutions too about the situation there.
Mike Swinson from the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon, a local nonprofit organization, is here with us today to talk about local efforts to help the people of Kumbo, a city in the Central African country of Cameroon and one of La Crosse's sister cities. He's joined by Sister Eileen McKenzie of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration and Lee Roche of the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the situation in Kumbo and ways La Crosse residents are trying to help. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. Thank you. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Sister city relationships often promote positive cultural exchange between residents of different nations. But some La Crosse area organizations are asking residents for that relationship to do more, to advocate for residents impacted by violence and political unrest in one of La Crosse's sister cities, Kumbo, in the Central African nation of Cameroon. We're here with Sister Eileen McKenzie, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse, and Lee Roche and Mike Swenson from the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon, a local nonprofit organization. So we've been talking about the situation in Cameroon and specifically in Kumbo and how that's affecting people there. And Sister Eileen, I know that recently your organization's held a forum to kind of educate residents here in the La Crosse area. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the purpose of that event and how it went, how well it was attended.
Yeah, this last Thursday, April 25th, we held a town hall meeting. We were working a lot with the Friends of Cameroon, and the purpose was threefold, really. One was to educate people in La Crosse of what's going on in Kumbo, because even though we've got more media on it, it's certainly not in any local media coverage. And there's a lot of news going on. There's a lot of things happening. The second was that we wanted to really reinforce the sister city relationship that we have, the personal relationships, the meaning of this. You know, we're kind of bombarded in media with a lot of bad things that are going on in the world. So we see Yemen and we see Syria and we see, you know, the cyclones, and there's so much. And we have a tendency to just feel overwhelmed and powerless with that. And then we're coming here and we're saying, all right, and this is what's going on in Kumbo, and it's getting worse. What we wanted to do was, in addition to educate, to say there we have personal connections here, and when your friends and your sisters, your brothers, the people that you love, when they're crying out like this, we have a personal reason to respond to this. And the third was to call for some political action on this. We've been working for a couple of years with Ron Kind's office to try and get a resolution passed, just to call our government to intervene, particularly to de-escalate the violence in the ways that it can, and to facilitate some dialogue for lasting peace. All of our friends in Cameroon say, you know, if the United States says it, the world will do it, in a sense. And so those of us who are U.S. citizens might feel differently about that statement. But the other thing they're saying is that we are being killed here, that this is genocide, and the international community is sitting back and watching. Like, how many people have to die before the people who are the real power makers in the world intervene for peace? And so we hear that, and we know that we have the right to congregate legally. We have the right to interact with our politicians. We say that they work for us, not that we work for them. And this is a gift that might be taken for granted and might be extremely underutilized in our society. And we thought that we should act on that and engage our politicians. And so we brought, we worked with not only those of us at the grassroots, but we had a wonderful exchange with Mayor Cabot, who unfortunately wasn't able to be there that night, but he gave a very special message to the town hall participants after having an interaction, conversation with Mayor Donatus Njong of Kumbo, who can't even live in Kumbo right now. I mean, he's the mayor of the city, and he's had to evacuate in order to do his job. It was a striking conversation, and actually just hearing Mayor Cabot's experience of talking with another mayor who's saying, I go to funerals every day from people in my city who have died, that my children have to go to another city or another area to be educated. You could just see how this was impacting him, and he responded by assuring the mayor that when peace arrives, which is very hopeful, that La Crosse will be there for the recovery efforts and to help with rebuilding after the violence that's happened. Ron Kind came to speak with us as well and has shared with us how he kind of, I think he said, that he broke into politics in a way, cut his teeth on trying to work at getting genocide, getting it illegal in the international forum from the United States. And so he really resonated with the testimonies that were given there, and he assured us that he would be voting, every time he had a vote, he would vote for, the peace and for the interaction that he could. So we're hoping that he works with other members in Congress and that we can engage with other members of our government to see that this is something that we do care about, and we are citizens and we have a number and it's growing, and that there is something that we can do. The other piece of that I would say is that we also gave a platform for our friends, our Cameroonian friends, to say, listen, this is what is happening. I mean, they're crying all over the world. And, it's something to cry out, but to know that you're being listened to and that people are accompanying you and they're working with you is another thing. And so that was a very powerful piece of the evening, I think, is that they got to tell their story and we could receive it and say, you know, we're with you in this and we're going to do what we can for peace.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, I wonder if you were there able to hear the testimonies and what that was like for you.
Well, I think one thing that's really very striking is that in a recent Friends of Cameroon meeting, there were some students who actually are from Cameroon but who are living in La Crosse, and they told their personal stories. And for safety reasons, they didn't feel comfortable in a larger public venue being able to talk about what's going on. But these students literally don't know what's left of their home. Their families have left the villages. They have family members that have been killed. One of the students in particular talked about how her mom is living in the bush somewhere. And so when she's done with school, she doesn't know what she'll even be going back to. So it's really very saddening and scary to think about that even students from Cameroon who are here now are afraid to talk about what's happening at home because they might not be safe to do that, even while they're here.
Lee, what has been the U.S. government's relationship with Cameroon? Why might advocating for peace there or human rights there, why might that be tricky for the U.S. government to do?
Well, Cameroon is adjacent to Nigeria, and in the far northern parts of Nigeria, it's the home base of Boko Haram. And Boko Haram has not only threatened their own citizens, but they have gone into northern Cameroon in that arid desert area, and they've attacked villages there. And so the Cameroon government has been viewed as an opportunity to oppose the spread of Boko Haram, and the United States has given money and military supplies and hardware to help in that effort.
And just to break in, Boko Haram, the terrorist organization.
This is a terrorist organization, yes, based out of Nigeria.
Yes.
And so the concern is, though, that some of those same military goods and supplies and items are actually being used against the citizens in Cameroon, as opposed to the fight against the terrorist group Boko Haram. So that's a concern. And when the Assistant Secretary of African Affairs met with the Cameroon government leaders, he expressed concern that there has not been dialogue. And following that visit, the United States government announced sanctions, freezing some of the military support for Cameroon, and also putting sanctions on some of the governmental leaders to put pressure to get the parties to the table. And this is a key because it will take first the opportunity for parties to come together and hold a ceasefire so that they can actually start a dialogue on the things that could help reconstruct a peaceful environment. So the role of the United States is to try to put leverage there. The United Nations is also looking at this. They have not taken a formal resolution as of yet, but they have made reference to an upcoming resolution if there aren't signs of peace. The European Union Parliament has passed a resolution on this as well. And so the hope is that all of these things can put enough pressure to get the start of the discussions going. Now, our role, Little Lacrosse, Wisconsin, our role is to try to keep that process going. We don't want this to feel like it's a one-and-done effort, that governments have taken a position and it didn't produce the results they needed and they let it fade away. And so the town hall meeting was an opportunity to gather signatures on a petition. We have an online petition that's available now. We're going to continue to spread that word so that we can get as many voices asking governmental leaders, don't let up now. Keep the pressure on and bring the parties to the table. The longer we wait, the more challenging this whole situation will be. And if you look at the worst places in the world where they have violence and problem situations, they probably waited way too long to try to intervene. And we think there's an opportunity to do something, but we need to do it now.
Lee, I have seen that you have said that, sister cities can do more than government along those lines, as far as this situation. I wonder if you can explain kind of what you mean by that.
Well, you know, the sister city movement started under the leadership of President Dwight Eisenhower. And it was under his belief and the belief that if you could get the people from different cities around the world to come together and develop these relationships, that these relationships can help lead to peace and exchange in ways that governments sometimes just can't accomplish. People-to-people relationships can accomplish things that governments can't. And so there are many examples of how those relationships have helped build a better peaceful understanding between nations all over the world. And we look at this as an opportunity to say, okay, now we have a sister city relationship and we have friendships that have developed as an outgrowth of that. And we should never walk away at a time from our friends when they're in a time of need. And so what we're trying to do is say, let's live up to the values of the sister city relationship and support the friends in the best way we can, in every way we can.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about violence and political rest in Kumbo, a city in Cameroon and one of La Crosse's sister cities. We're here with Lee Roche and Mike Swenson from the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon and Sister Eileen McKenzie from the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. Sister Eileen, you know, I wonder what, aside from continuing political pressure to help address this issue in Cameroon, you know, what do the residents of Cameroon need from their, you know, their neighbors in La Crosse?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing how powerful knowing that someone is thinking about you, is caring for you, and is praying for you. So I'm a big advocate of praying for our friends in Cameroon. Communicating with them is very important as well. There's something about knowing that you're heard, knowing that someone else is caring for you. We're also working with the sisters in different ways to help them offset their relief work, essentially. They're kind of a core group that's well situated to help with the relief work that's happening, particularly with internally displaced persons. So we've been working with them. Their healthcare system has really been affected by the violence, and so they're looking for international partners to help with rebuilding some of that. And so we're looking at that, and some of our affiliates and people who are working with us and with the sisters are interested in partnering in that. I would say that the Friends of Cameroon as well, with area Rotarians, have been looking at projects, and I'm sure in the future we're going to be looking at rebuilding and, you know, kind of expanding some of the projects that have been going on for right now. An example is this mobile library project that we've been working with schools that have been down for 2, going on 3 years now. One of Human Rights Watch's recommendations, or the crisis, as well as the International Crisis Center, is is to develop alternative forms of education, because the education system is pretty much decimated. So we're hoping to be able to be creative and intervene in that way. And so if people wanted to become a little bit more involved with the Friends of Cameroon, I would certainly recommend it. It's a wonderful group, and they're doing really good things with people.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, I wonder if you could talk about next steps you see for your organization to continuing aiding our sister city.
Well, one of the, one of the things we're doing, of course, is trying to create more awareness in the public about this situation in Cameroon. And we want to get more of us to be advocates with our own federal government. So as our awareness is spreading beyond just the city of La Crosse, we're asking our friends to share information about this with their representatives so that we can have a more support in our Congress for any action that our government might be able to take.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a sense of, you know, if we are seeing communities step up in the way that La Crosse is starting to?
Yeah, I think definitely La Crosse, of course, is sort of the center of this western Wisconsin region. And so we have some friends in Minnesota and around western Wisconsin that are wanting to step up in the same way. And through our Rotary connections also, there are other Rotary clubs that have relationships from across the United States and Canada with Rotary clubs in Cameroon. And so we're working through those connections too.
You know, Sister Eileen, you were mentioning earlier that, you know, we enjoyed this right to peacefully assemble in the U.S. And I wonder, you know, Lee, in light of the, you know, the ban we've seen on public protests in Cameroon as a result of some of this unrest, how this ability for U.S. citizens to kind of raise our voice on this issue, you know, maybe becomes even more important when we see Cameroonian residents not being able to do that.
I think it's very important that we become the voice that they cannot be, and there is every reason why any free and healthy country will allow for citizens to be able to express concerns in positive and legal ways, and it's not in place right now. And and when you look at the combination of that environment and also look at the displacements and the burning of buildings and so on, there's the risk that this is true genocide, that they're cleansing the area of people who have historically lived there for centuries as historically, and moving them into something who knows where that is. And so we have to be able to speak out, because when they are, it's not being interpreted that they are protesting. It's being interpreted that they're secessionists and that they're going to squash that secession effort. So it's a challenge. But, you know, we can't turn our back. We just can't turn our back. And the more we are encouraging others to pay attention as well, we just believe that there are positive things that will be accomplished. And the road to reconstruction will be a long one, but you know, I believe we're going to see that because we have good people, and there's a good place in the world that has historically been doing good things that is at risk of losing that, and yet that history of its historic accomplishment, I think, can prevail if we provide the support.
Yeah, Sister Eileen.
Blatant plug for Wisconsin Public Radio. One of the important aspects of a free society is media. And one of the things that they are targeting in Cameroon is their media. So they're targeting reporters, investigative journalists. Anyone who is trying to get the story out is targeted. And so that's a real area of concern. And so just being here, being able to share this, is an important aspect to this effort, being able to get the word out, because there are other ways that they're doing it. Twitter, you know, Facebook, YouTube, that is happening. But actual investigative journalism and the whole media aspect is being shut down in Cameroon now.
Sister Eileen, I wonder how we balance that need to help residents that are maybe in a time of crisis, but also with, you know, measuring whether, you know, America should get involved in politics in another country. You know, is that Should that be the U.S.'s role?
Right. The U.S. is involved in politics in that country. As Lee had mentioned before, we have a high interest in the peace of Cameroon because Boko Haram is there, Central African Republic is there. The peace of Cameroon is really in the interest of the United States, and we have invested a lot in that peace through military aid, through military training, through various forms of aid already. So it's not a matter of whether we can invest in peace, it's can we continue to invest in peace, and how are we doing it?
Yeah, Lee. We are not advocating taking sides, however. We're advocating that the parties come to the table in a neutral environment and an objective environment, and they work out differences leading to peace. So our goal is a peaceful resolution. We're not taking one side over another.
Lee Roche and Mike Swenson from the La Crosse Friends of Cameroon, and Sister Eileen McKenzie, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse, join us today to talk about La Crosse's sister city of Kumbo in Cameroon and local efforts to help residents there who are affected by violence and political unrest. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.